You can start today by turning to Mark 4. Mark 4, that'll give you a head start. I'm still thinking back to the Feast of Tabernacles, which was like 7 weeks ago now, depending on where you count it from. But at the Feast of Tabernacles, life took a different twist for many people that some are still dealing with. And in addition to the spiritually healthy messages that we had at the Feast of Tabernacles, many people came away from the feast with COVID-19 and have been stricken with it in various ways since then. So I stand here today as one who, what I call, did not get the legs knocked out from under me. I had COVID, and it was what I would call a mild case. And I don't know why I had a somewhat mild case, and others have had serious cases. And all I know is that I'm grateful, and I appreciate the fact that God was merciful to me, and it's also humbling, and I'm also grateful to see others recover and back on their feet and back at church today. And I grieve for those who have lost loved ones in the process. And it's a difficult situation, but through the process and thinking about it, I'm reminded of a unique attribute of our God in heaven and Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. He doesn't seem to pay attention. God doesn't seem to pay attention. That doesn't mean he is not paying attention. Mostly it means I don't understand everything about God. And it's hard to, I feel like I'm missing cues. Like, why does he let me walk with COVID and other people were down or other people lost their lives? It's difficult. Mark 4, we'll start in verse 1. And again, he began to teach by the sea. I assume that's Galilee. And by the way, this particular account, you can read about it also in Matthew 8 and Luke 8. And each of them brings a little bit different detail into it. So he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in the boat on the edge of the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing him. Then he taught them many things by parables, and it goes on for many verses talking about the parables that he gave them. And I will just comment that if this went on all day, by the time you exert yourself over and over and you continue to deal with how to say things and raising your voice and trying to project to all this multitude, at some point this is physically exhausting and draining. Let's drop down to verse 35 now. And it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they, meaning Jesus and the disciples, had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. Now that to me means they didn't prepare for this. It was a kind of a spur of the moment thing. He didn't have his overnight satchel prepared. He didn't have any maybe food with them or whatever, but they weren't ready for this trip, but they just jumped in the boat. In fact, they didn't check the weather for some reason. And other boats were also with him. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. Another verse says, the boat was covered with the waves. So it was a big storm, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern. He was in the back, maybe sleeping and getting soaked because the waves were covering the boat. He was asleep. Let me read it again. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. So from the exhausting day that I would guess that he was tired from doing things all day, he was asleep. He was tired. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. There's apparently no comment to that question, those two questions. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?" So this is a very interesting circumstance that Jesus Christ put himself and the passengers in. Let me ask some rhetorical questions that I've thought of. Did Jesus Christ know the storm was coming? Or did he tell the storm to come? Since he was able to tell the storm to go away, could he have told the storm to come? Well, wait, he was sleeping. Who controls the weather? Of all people on earth, surely Jesus Christ could keep people out of danger, especially if they were with him. But should he? He went to sleep. Was he out of touch with the danger the ship passengers were going to be in? Was he purposely putting them in the danger? Jesus could have lived his life on earth in a bubble so that no one around him was hurt or distressed or anxious or in any danger, but that's not what he did. Verse 38, they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And the real answer might have surprised them. He seemed to do nothing in the face of danger. In fact, he was so comfortable with the danger that he went to sleep. Wasn't this a crisis that he should be attentive to? Just think, if the boat sank, and they're probably the fishing boats, their livelihood and their ability to support their families, all these men could have been at risk. Their belongings could have perished in the murky water, and some of these people could have even lost their lives. He could have solved this crisis, but why should he? Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful?" Fear is crippling. Your heart rate might increase. You might have shortness of breath. Your adrenaline rushes. You have butterflies in your stomach. You have maybe an upset stomach. You have nausea, chills, sweating, trembling. You're kind of freaking out. And your thought process is off. Those things aren't necessary if you put your trust in God. Christ said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Hebrews 11:1 says the definition of faith: faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But faith in what? What should they have faith in? The faith of Jesus Christ is something to consider here. He exhibited no fear and had faith that the Father would take care of him in whatever the situation was. That's amazing. But I would expect that of Jesus Christ. So it's a fair question for us to ask today in a world that's in a storm more than ever. Why are people so fearful? Why do we lack faith? In hindsight, can't we see all that God has done for us? Can't we read the Bible? Can't we look around and see what God has done for us? Why would a little danger change that? God is still in charge no matter what's going on around us. Waves or no waves, wind or no wind, we're going to be okay. God's in charge. Maintaining equilibrium in a topsy-turvy environment is quite a challenge. Jesus Christ expected it of those on the boat. And frankly, brethren, he expects it of us. Not turning there, but Matthew 19:26 says, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So apparently it's possible to go through life without fear and having faith. With God, it is possible, even in a life-threatening situation. So we need to ask ourselves, am I fearful? And do I have faith? God allows the crisis for a purpose, and that purpose we may not know right now. But see, we like to have insurance policies. I pay a lot of insurance. My health, my car, my... Oh, and I want an umbrella to cover whatever isn't under the umbrella. We like security and safety and peace of mind. We want to control our surroundings and maybe each other. Apparently, God the Father and Jesus Christ are more concerned about us living by faith and not being fearful. While those on the boat were concerned about their lives and their stuff, Jesus Christ was more concerned about their faith. And maybe therein lies the answer. You see, God doesn't see things the way we do, but God isn't asleep. Remember back in Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and they raised their amplitude to their gods that did nothing, and they beat themselves and cut themselves. God's not like that. You can scream at God all you want, and he doesn't hear any better. God knows what we're going through, and somehow it fits his eternal plan and his greater purpose and his perfect will. You know, I'm okay with that, but I don't like to suffer, so I'm not okay with that. It's not easy, and I don't know what to do about it other than keep going forward. We have to let God be God, and we have to keep learning the lessons that we need to. We can't tell him what to do, but we can certainly ask. God wants to know where our heart is, and if it was up to most of us, we would heal everybody and the world would live at peace. But that's not the way it's playing out. That's not what Adam and Eve set us up for. You could say, well, then why pray for people if God is going to do it his way anyway? Well, praying does you a lot of good. We need to learn empathy and compassion and all the lessons of this human life. Yet we have to walk through difficult times to do that. But in walking through them, then we can understand what other people... We don't have to walk through everything in life, but we can understand that if people have problems, that those problems are serious and that it is a life-threatening challenge for them, and we can lift those things up to God and put them in his hands and let God know that we care about these fellow human beings. But God isn't a people pleaser. He's not trying to make just everybody happy. Humanly, we must walk through the circumstances, and we have God's word that we can go to over and over again, and those words of encouragement in the book can tell us where God is taking us and what's happening and the way it's going to turn out. Those words in his Bible give us hope, and they give us a big picture of how things are going to turn out. But honestly, brethren, those outcomes that God provides are not the outcomes that we would expect, and it's not like 1 + 1 = 2. I'll give you a couple references. John 9, when he was asked, who sinned, the man or his parents? Jesus answered, okay, the simple question was, who sinned, this man or his parents? The simple answer is, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Well, why didn't I think of that? Because that's not the way we think. Nobody would have deduced that after being asked this question. How about when Lazarus was sick in John 11? Lazarus was sick and expected to die, and Jesus said to the sisters, Mary and Martha, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified in it. Why didn't I think it? Well, of course, 1 + 1 = 2. And that's not the way it works. So when the boat is going to sink, Jesus is sleeping in the back of it, and he says, why do you fear? Don't you have faith? That's not the answer you would normally go to. I'm not a water guy, but there was one summer that I was on canoeing up in Orr, Minnesota, And I well remember the day that we were crossing whatever the lake was. It was a lake that had water in it, and the shores weren't very close together. And we were somewhere out in the middle of it when the storm blew in, and I'm the empirical leader, or if that's the right word. I'm in charge of I think we had probably two staff and eight campers or something. And we're out in the middle of this lake, and the wind blows in, and the waves started coming up. And I don't like swimming, especially when I have to. And the only thing I could really do is, A, accept it, and B, do as I was trained. And the training went something like this. Stroke, feather, stroke, feather, stroke, feather. Repeat. Focus. There's the shore. The wind's blowing. Stay with it. I think that's what we need to do too. So God never slumbers and he never sleeps. Isaiah 40:28 says, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And therein is an interesting sentence. Again, God comes to conclusions that we would never come up with. It doesn't seem humanly possible to understand why God does what he does. His ways are so much greater than ours, and that's where faith comes in. We have to trust that God knows where we need to go, that he's going to get us there, and the conditions on the ground aren't going to change that. Every experience we go through is an opportunity to consider God's ways. Last week, we heard about glorifying God. The week before that, discussing why sickness. There are so many things we have to learn and relearn. Is God paying attention? According to his word, the emphatic answer is yes. And the better question we should ask ourselves is, am I fearful? And do I have faith?